Ladies and gentlemen, it's Saturday, March 11th, and I'm at a show with Olaf from Amaranth. They're playing tonight with Failure Anthem, Citizen Zero, Cypher 16, and Smash Into Pieces. Welcome to Reading.
Every single band in the world is on the list. And thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. First time. So.
And for you listeners, there will be background noise. Don't mind that. People are just sound checking and all that good stuff, so we'll work around it. All right, this is the very last date of your U.S.-Canada Maximalism tour. Now that it's almost all behind you, is it everything you hoped it would be?
It's been a fantastic tour. to be honest, the first shows like in down in the south, it's always a little bit, you know, less classic Amaranth territory. But this time, everybody was really enthusiastic there as well, so we had a lot of fun. And the last 2 weeks has just been absolutely amazing in every way. And I have to say, Canada is always fantastic also. So in general, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a pretty long tour. Yes. Everything is relative, of course, because I know there's bands who do like 9-week tours or whatever. But we've been away from Sweden now for 6 weeks, so we're starting to long a bit for home.
I imagine. But and also, let's see, in mid-February, you had some bus trouble. Was that, hopefully that was the worst thing that happened, right?
Actually, yeah, I mean, it wasn't really that, but we were on our way to Phoenix, and of course we had to cancel the Phoenix show, which really, really sucked, of course. But on the good side, we were 2.5 hours away from Vegas, so we got an extra day off in Vegas, which wasn't too bad.
So Maximalism was your highest charting album to date. By the way, it's still in stores now. Congratulations on that, first of all. And secondly, do you feel like this validates your decision to take some chances on the new album?
I mean, absolutely. Somehow, you also got to put a little bit of the creative side before, you know, the commercial success or whatever. For us, it was extremely important to make an album that was different this time around, because the two first records were certainly like a part of a whole. It's almost like, you know, a sequel. And then you had Mass Addicted, which started to change things around a little bit, but in my opinion, I think that people weren't really understanding that it was different, if you know what I mean. So I think this time we felt like everybody had been saying up till this point that, you know, always know what to expect from Amaranth. Which might be a cool thing, but it might also be a boring thing in the long run. So this time we decided to do something unexpected, and the cool thing is that it paid off. And even the people who might have not embraced it as fully, I think they're still coming to the shows and they're still rocking out to the songs that they were bad-mouthing on YouTube. So it does not at all seem like we actually lost any fans in any way at all. So yeah, it's been a really exciting ride so far.
In a lot of ways, I could see how this is a continuation of what you started with Massive Addictive. That should have been the first hint for people that things were maybe shifting in a different direction.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there were a lot of hints on Massive Addictive, you know, towards what direction, you know, the future would take. But this is also the cool thing with this band, is that it has so many different influences. So there's still so many, you know, directions we can still take it. Because the way that I see it, our creative path is not just like a single-sided thing. It's not just one path we can traverse. There's always, like, you know, plenty of directions to head in the future. So, I mean, I'm already starting to get, you know, a lot of different ideas about what the next record could be. And it might not be what people are expecting entirely. So I think that we, in terms of the poppy side, will always be part of the, you know, Amaranth sound. I think that we really explore that on the Maximalism record, but it might not necessarily be the direction that we're heading in to the future. So who knows?
It's still early. I mean, no one's rushing you for the new one. All right. So early on, when you were writing it, and even after you recorded it, was there a sense that that song would be the first single to really make a statement?
At first, no, actually, because when we wrote the song, it wasn't written as a lead single, because it was obviously very, very different. And in my mind, at that point in writing, I think that we were all, you know, looking at Boomerang as the lead single. But as the album finished up and we were sitting down and listening to all the different songs, and of course the label had their ideas as well, and it sort of started to make us see things from a new perspective. For me, just felt that it was a very cool thing, very different thing, and very challenging thing. And I just knew 100% that it would, you know, wake people up from from whatever their idea was of Amaranth, which I felt was a really good thing. And so it did. So.
Now, speaking of Boomerang, you had a really cool music video for that, very reminiscent of some spy thrillers and all other good stuff, very stylized and all that. Do you have a favorite spy or heist movie that maybe reminded you of?
I mean, yeah, there's a bunch of classics. I mean, I'm an old school James Bond kind of fan, like the 70s Roger Moore kind of movies. I think they're really, really cool. And of course, then there were like the fun influences like Ocean's 11 and, you know, Bourne Identity or something like that. So, Mission Impossible, absolutely, definitely. And I really like Mission Impossible too. That's a killer movie as well. Yeah.
Ghost Protocol was good too, I thought it kind of revived things, but...
I agree, definitely. But number two is the best one, especially with the music from by Hans Zimmer. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
All right. So a common factor in all of your albums is working with Jacob Hansen in a lot of recording in Denmark. What is it about working with him and his studio that works for you?
I mean, he just, like, really understands the band and the sound, and we know him really well, you know, both personally and creatively at the same time. And he's not only a great producer, but he's also, he's very musical. So he's really always been, like, this guiding hand to try to find, like, the right sound and the right direction for the band. And it just made a whole lot of sense to continue to work with him on this album. But actually, we recorded drums, guitars, and bass in Gothenburg this time with a guy called Jacob Herman at Top Floor Studios in Gothenburg, which was a really cool break from, you know, our usual 84-day exile to Denmark. So we did about half of the actual recording there, but still, Jacob Hansen was responsible for the mix and for the master and, you know, for tying all the different knots together, if you know what I mean.
Bringing it all back to Gothenburg.
So. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So you released a B-sides bonus song collection called Breaking Point. Were there a good number of songs that didn't make the final cut for Maximalism?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think this album was the one album where we had the most songs going into the studio. So that was a really cool process also to sit down. First day in at Top Floor Studios in Gothenburg, we just sat down and went through like 18 ideas, I guess, just trying to pick and choose to see what the direction would be. So we really had the ability to influence the wholeness of the album and the general direction. So that was very exciting.
It's always good to have something in the back of your mind. Like, in a couple more releases, they'll have another B-sides collection or bonus songs or something.
Likely, yes.
I always like to hear them even out of context because, you know, sometimes, oh, that should have been on the album. Or there can be really good ones on there.
Yeah, definitely. And if you look at the song called Breaking Point and also Splinter in My Soul, which were bonus tracks for the first album in Japan, I think they are definitely good enough to have made the cut for the final first album. And maybe if I would have chosen today, I might have chosen differently, actually, because those, especially Breaking Point, is like an absolutely killer song. So.
All right. Let's see. As you mentioned, for Maximalism, well, you had a lot of songs to work with. Part of this probably was taking time off from touring to write in a more comfortable way.
Yes, very good.
Do you foresee working like this again, or do you kind of miss or see some value to having the pressure be on you with the time constraint?
I think it's a little bit of both, because when you are given a whole lot of time, which I consider 5 months away from touring and just you know, writing and sketching on ideas, that was a lot of time. And it gives you really the time to think about things, but it also makes you a little bit comfortable, if you know what I mean. Not in the sense that you're not working all the time, because you are, but you get really comfortable about your decisions because you have a long time to think them through, if you know what I mean. And sometimes there's some very cool things happening when there's pressure applied, if you know what I mean. Which was definitely the case of the Nexus album, for example, because the first record was written in like a time period of 2.5 years, and then the Nexus was written in 5 months while we were touring intensively, and half of the Massive Addictive record was written on tour in Europe. So, I mean, there's even some certain solos that I actually kept from the demo recordings when I was sitting behind like a fridge like that with my little, you know, setup. And there's always cool things happening when you're spontaneous. So we haven't really decided how we're gonna work, but the band is almost always on the road because it's also our, you know, jobs and our way of life. So.
Well, you don't want to have a Chinese democracy where you live with it for 11 years and some good stuff, some bad stuff. I mean, that's worst case scenario.
No, exactly. That is a worst case scenario. And that's the cool thing also about, you know, working on something for just 5 months, but working on it really intensely, is that it, especially if you're going to make a diverse album like Maximalism, you really need to have it in your head all the time and not let it go completely. Because if you go the Axl Rose kind of way, then you probably put it down for like a year and then pick it up again, and it's, then you're somewhere else creatively, if you know what I mean. So.
All right, now I heard you have another project called Dragonland, which is a bit more straightforward power metal. That's my jam. You're credited with playing guitar and violin on the Facebook, I think it said that. Do you have a history with, what's your history with the violin, and any thoughts of incorporating that into Amaranth?
I started to play violin. I wasn't like one of those kids who started when they were super young. So I was like never into actually doing it professionally. It was more like a great hobby. I guess I started about the same time as I started to get very serious about guitar, which was probably when I was 12 or 13 or something like that. So I've been a very enthusiastic amateur for a long time. And I spent many, many hours practicing the instrument. It's a very punishing instrument, but I guess a few years ago, finally, I got around to the point where I felt like pretty comfortable about using it on recording. So with Dragonland, we released our latest album. That was actually 6 years ago. Wow, time flies. Called Under the Grey Banner, and there's a few songs on there with violin. It's an album that I'm still very, very proud of. And when we were playing at Prague Power in Atlanta in 2015, I also played violin on stage for the first time with Dragonland, which was very, very cool. It was a dream come true, for sure.
And probably a little nerve-wracking, right?
On stage.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the only thing that I've ever done, in, you know, standing on stage my entire life has been playing guitar, with the exception of playing, like, keyboards once or twice. And all of a sudden, you have that, like, this very complicated instrument, very naked instrument as well. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty used to standing on stage, so.
Of course.
So it was a great experience.
Excellent.
I know you're always on the road with Amaranth, but maybe someday Dragonland should do a tour with Dragon Force. And there's a band from Kazakhstan called Holy Dragons. Really have a theme going.
And have Dragon Lord come with us as well.
Yes. Yeah. I was looking at other dragons. That's good. That's a good one, though. Now, I've heard you love nonfiction, especially historical books.
Yes.
Are you in the middle of anything at the moment?
I am. When I'm on tour, I try to, you know, avoid like the really very complicated things, and I usually read something that is a little bit more familiar. So right now I'm reading some Roman history, which I always find really, really intriguing. But I love any time period. I read a lot of American history as well. It's been a while now, but I also find like American history really fascinating because us Europeans, we have this idea that Americans can be slightly ignorant when it comes to European history, but I just like to twist that concept and say that most Europeans are very, you know, unknowledgeable about, you know, the Civil War or the Revolutionary Wars or the Mexican War or anything like that. So, and it's the same thing when it comes to geographical knowledge, that, you know, people will laugh at the Americans for not being able to place like Greece on a European map, but at the same time, most Europeans wouldn't be able to place North Dakota or Montana or Oregon on a USA map as well. So
many Americans couldn't either, so don't feel bad about that.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah,
you're explaining Kansas and Arkansas to people.
No.
Spelled the same way, it's pronounced differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never really understood why, but
Arkansas? Nope.
No, exactly.
So lyrically, I know Sabaton has this down pat, but any thoughts of incorporating some of your enthusiasm for history into lyrical concepts for Amaranth?
I mean, definitely. I mean, there's absolutely a possibility. I haven't really considered it, to be honest, but it's a fascinating topic, and it might not at all be impossible. There's already like this sort of undercurrent that runs in the latest album with secret societies and things like that. So it touches a little bit on, you know, historical elements there, I guess, just a slight bit. Same thing with the live show with the intro and everything, so I guess you guys will see that tonight.
Now, I think in another interview, Elise has said she feels live streams are a great way to connect with fans. Do you have anything like that planned in the near future?
I mean, we try to do things like that every now and then. We haven't been super active with it on this tour, but we did a Q&A in Los Angeles just before stage time. We also did a live stream from Gas Monkey in Dallas. And it's really fun to do things like that because it's a very direct way to communicate with fans. And there's always like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments as well, so you can see that people are appreciative of it, so it's a lot of fun to do.
Of course. All right, now that you've more or less finished this tour and have earned a little bit of rest, is there anything coming up for Amaranth that you can announce?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a whole lot of rest for us because we're going to be home for 3 days and then we do a Swedish tour. Okay. But after that, I will say that we have a little bit of a break. And then we're going to do a Finnish tour, which is going to be awesome. It's one of the main markets for the band. And we're playing some like 1500 cap venues that are already sold out, several of them. So that's going to be, you know, super exciting. And in general, we just, you know, have a very busy year, I guess. We're, as we talked before, about before when we met, we're also gonna, no, it wasn't with you, it was with the other guys. In September, we're going back to the US to play the Prague Power in Atlanta, Georgia. So we're gonna try to schedule something around that as well. And we can't say 100% right now that it's going to happen, but it's something that we want to happen. I mean, like a shorter American tour, so.
We can check your social media and keep up to date with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, keep checking that because we'll keep coming back, so.
All right, I end every interview with this one. You're stuck in a desert island with one album for the rest of your life. What is it?
Master of Puppets by Metallica.
Wow.
Wow. Excellent. Well, that's great. Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yes. Pleasure.